We're about to experience the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the history of the world. And we're about to see one of the greatest harvests come in ever. And so there's disruption right now, but I'm telling you, it's going to lead to revival. Yeah. So we're excited for that.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in from all around the nations of the world to this week's what's going to be a very, very empowering episode of Live Your Best Life with me, of course, Liz Wright. And my very special guest joining me for today's conversation is honestly one of the most empowering people that you would ever have the joy of being able to listen to. His passion, his wife's passion, his team's passion. He's the founder of Jesus Culture, which is a catalytic movement, a global movement in itself, with its base in Sacramento, in California. Their passion is to really help people walk in experiential life of encountering Jesus, and from that, a live place of connection, an authentic relationship with the King of Glory, to know why they're on this planet and to move in their mandate. And he really does carry such a passion and a lot of experience to help equip the body around the nations of the earth shift into purpose from partnership. So you are going to be seriously empowered today to know what season it is in your life and how to really identify why you're here for this time that you're in right now, because we need everybody in the body of Christ to rise up strong. And that's what Holy Spirit's doing. So it is my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Banning Liebschner. Banning, welcome.
Liz, so great to be on your podcast with you. Just so encouraged by all you're doing. I don't just say this because I have to, because as a guest, but really genuinely encouraged by what you're doing to come alongside people all over the world. I'll run with anybody who has a mandate and a call to just come alongside and encourage and equip and call people to what God's really has for them. So I love it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's a joy to have you on. And we just so love and honor you and respect all that you guys are doing. And yeah, same heart. We just want to see the body of Christ flying, walking powerfully as royalty in the earth, as the head, not the tail, right? Setting culture, all that you teach and equip and empower people to do. Okay, so bouncing off, I want to just ask you, for people who are perhaps overwhelmed right now with the narrative, the news narrative, the economic uncertainty, the disruption, all the stuff that's going on in the nations at the moment. So they, you know, maybe they're just feeling that overwhelm and they've got into a place of lack of clarity or confusion. It's like, why am I here? Can you help people reset and get clear again? How do we identify our purpose, our mandate?
Yeah, well, first of all, such a great question. As you would know, with what you're doing and us in it, working in the church in California and different places, I think right now we need prophetic clarity more than ever before. So I think that I'll weave three quick scriptures together. Mm-hmm. I think that the story of Jehu in 2 Kings 9 is extremely relevant right now. There's a passage in Psalm 33 that I'll reference, and then Acts 8. So in 2 Kings chapter 9, I don't want to preach a sermon at you, but this is where I think prophetic clarity has to come in for people right now. We are in a massive season of disruption.
Yeah.
Now, we shouldn't be surprised by it. If you read the Bible, we know what this stuff looks like. But Acts chapter 8 is this, after 5 years of just thriving and growth and miracles and community and prayer in Jerusalem, an unbelievable time to be alive in Jerusalem. Stephen gets martyred. Persecution happens. And Acts chapter 8:1 talks about how persecution comes and they're all scattered. So if you read Acts 8 and Acts 8:1 by itself, you can get discouraged really quickly because you think, man, it looks like evil is winning. It looks like whatever God's doing is just now done. This beautiful thing that was happening in Jerusalem has now been really disrupted. But you're only discouraged if you don't understand with prophetic clarity the timeline and the storyline of God. And I think so many people are looking right now at what's happening in culture and what's happening in society, disconnected from God. Is there's a storyline that's been unfolding. And Acts chapter 8:1 doesn't sit by itself. Acts chapter 8:1 is connected to Acts 1:8. So Acts chapter 8:1 is really about going to all, you know, going to the ends of the earth, preaching in Jerusalem and Samaria. And so what we find is this: Acts 8:1, when you really have prophetic clarity about what God's doing in the earth, Acts 8:1, you understand this, that disruption in Jerusalem is about to lead to revival in Samaria. So I think that believers that really kind of lean in and say, God, I want to know what you're doing right now, they live encouraged because they look and go, man, there's massive disruption happening in Jerusalem. But what I know is this, that when disruption hits Jerusalem, revival is about to come to Samaria, and we're about to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I say that because I think so many people, I'll go to 2 Kings 9, Jehu is sitting, Ahab's gone, and but Jezebel's still in control of both of the king of Israel and the king of Judah. It's a bleak time still. And a prophet had to come to Jehu and had to give him some clarity, had to give him clarity about who he was. He just said, hey, listen, you're king. You've been anointed as king. Don't forget this. And here's what I'm about to do in the nation. I'm about to dethrone Jezebel. You know, and so I think that this is the season we're in, that if we're going to actually walk in what God has called us to, we have to have prophetic clarity right now about, one, he's got to remind us who we are, two, really revealing the storyline of God. There is a storyline of God happening in the nations. There's a storyline of God happening in the UK, in California, in America. And if I am disconnected from it, I'm going to easily get discouraged. And I think that that's why, I think it's why the information age is so dangerous. Dangerous, is that the right word? There's never in history been a time where we have more information coming at us. There's never in history been a time where there's more voices that are speaking to me, that when I get up, literally before I get out of bed, I'm consuming more information than my grandparents consumed all day, right? This is just reality. This is what studies say. And so, but most of that information is revealing the plan the enemy has. And so I have to be very disciplined to be able to actually disconnect and connect to the storyline of God. So anyways, Liz, I'm going to ramble the whole time if you don't interrupt me and ask, but
it's very powerful what you're sharing. Yeah. The reality is we need to sit all the context of all the noise in the context of divine perspective. You said, we've got to have clarity prophetically on reality, what's actually happening from heaven's perspective, so we can partner with that and prioritize, like you would say, mountaintop time. We've got to prioritize our relationship with Jesus right now to move powerfully and with correct perspective.
Yes. And I think right now, it's interesting to me how much I find lack of clarity is actually what's throwing people off. So just a pastoral thing. So I'll set aside, like, I would say this: if you live in the UK, if you live in California, if you live in America, you need to understand what God's doing, because he is doing something. You need to understand the timeline of God. That acts, the disruption in Jerusalem is connected to a storyline that's been unfolding of what God's about to do in the second act of evangelism in Acts. So once I see that, I go, oh, okay. It gives that disruption some context and some purpose. Okay, I see clearly. And now we can do this. I say that many times pastorally in walking with people, what I find is, it's not the hard things that trip them up. It's the confusing things that trip them up. In other words, they can do hard things, but when they're confused about what's going on, it's difficult. The illustration I would use is, I'm asking myself two questions pretty regularly. One is, what season am I in? And what is God doing in that season? So I'm consistently trying to ask the Lord, what season am I in right now? And what are you doing in that season? Because if I know what season I'm in, and if I know what you're doing, then I can partner with that. If I don't, I get confused. It's amazing to me. So the Bible teaches in agriculture terms. Mm-hmm. The number two most mentioned thing in scripture outside of human beings is trees.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Trees are mentioned. So the concept of agriculture. And so anybody that would have been in agriculture or a farmer would have known seasons. They're not thrown off. It's amazing how many believers are thrown off because they're wondering why they're so cold and miserable. And I'm like, well, because you are wearing a tank top, sandals and shorts in the middle of winter. It's winter.
So important.
And so it's winter's not actually the issue there. Mm-hmm. Your lack of because you can get through winter if you're wearing the right clothes.
Right. And but if you don't know the season.
Yeah. And people are in summer and they're hot and miserable. I'm like, cause you're wearing a big parka and a beanie and gloves. So for me, when you understand, it's winter. Okay. Well, in winter, we're not planting seeds. In winter, we're not reaping harvest. In winter, we're resting. In winter, a farmer is huddling up with their family a little bit more. They're repairing equipment and getting ready for the next season. But there's not a farmer on the planet who is frustrated or confused in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Why they're not reaping a great harvest in this moment. They would understand this season actually has purpose to it.
Yeah.
It's a different purpose than summer, but it has purpose. And so they embrace that and they connect with it. So many believers, man, I just think you don't know what season you're in. And you don't know what God's doing in that season, both individually in your life, but also in the nation. And so we just have to have prophetic clarity. We got to say, Lord, I need to know what you're doing right now. And I need to know my part in that.
So good. So good. Because then you can be extremely intentional.
Yes. Yes.
With regards to your responsibility in your calling journey. How can I participate in your unfolding plan, Jesus? Because now you're sitting with that correct perspective. Okay. So for you, because you're living this and you're empowering people all around the nations to live this.
Yeah.
So number one priority, prioritize your relationship with Jesus. If you're confused, come aside, right? Come aside and just be in the word of God, worship, be in the presence, connect, however best people do that to get divine perspective. Yeah. And be in community. I know you're super big on relationship, right? Sitting with accountability and community. So we're on a journey together, not isolated.
Yeah. I would say I'm a pretty practical guy.
Yeah.
I would say there's three main things you have to always stay connected to. Or I would say if you're really going to bear fruit, you've got to be in three soils. So, and just understand that the enemy, that there's a real devil who's waging a real war against you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to thrive. He doesn't want you to flourish. He doesn't want you to experience, what Jesus says is the abundant life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy the abundant life. So, and the way he does that is he disconnects you from three things. The presence of God, the word of God, the family of God. People that are flourishing, people that are thriving are those that are deeply planted in the presence of God, are deeply planted in the word of God, and are deeply planted in community, in the family of God. And those three things, I think, are really what actually help bring clarity. That when I'm in his presence, he begins to speak to me. Lies that were there begin to go, begin to be broken. There's just a clarity in the presence of God. You see this in the Psalms, David all the time. Like, I was confused about why my enemies were flourishing. I was confused about this. And then I came into your presence. Like, it was this consistent thing that when I'm in your presence, there's a clarity that I don't have other places. When I'm in your word, there's a clarity that I don't have other places. And then ultimately, when I'm in community, when there's counsel, when there's other voices, when I have other, elders and fathers and mothers and mentors and peers and different things like that. So I would just encourage people. I mean, I I'm a pretty simple, practical guy with this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen, just stay in the presence of God, stay in the word of God, stay in the family of God. You'll be fine. You'll be thriving, you'll be flourishing, you'll have clarity, you know, all that stuff.
And listen to seasoned, trusted prophets who have character and can help to bring that divine perspective. The other thing that I think is super powerful when you're coaching people and counseling people with regards to really getting clear on their purpose and how to participate in the divine plan that's unfolding is where you encourage people to really spend time connecting to their passion, noticing their favor and connecting to their passion. And I thought, oh, that's really brilliant. Can you speak into that a little bit more?
So I'll say this real quick. The older I get, the more I realize I want to be obedience driven more than vision driven. Now I'm a big vision guy. I have a big vision. I have a big dream. We are dreaming about big things in the earth right now, you know? And so I'm in that, but really what's burning in my heart is I just want to be obedient and I want to do my assignment. So I think I want to pull people into a place where they wake up in the morning and just say, Jesus, I just want to do what you're asking me to do. At the end of the day, I just want to do my assignment in the earth and I want to be obedient. But I believe that finding out what God's asking of you, that really looking at the things that are on your heart and your passions and where your favor is, help bring clarity to what God's asking of you. So the reason why I say obedience is because if we just go into passion, we very quickly fall into kind of entitled land. We get frustrated when our dream doesn't happen. We get frustrated when a vision doesn't happen. We kind of believe that we deserve this thing that's in my heart rather than, no, I just want to be obedient. Whatever you're asking me to do, God, that's what I want to do. But I do believe that the Lord reveals what he's called us to through how he's wired us and what he's put in our heart. So you know, you give a ton of examples, but my heart is stirred when I hear stories of foster kids. I don't know why. Like there's no like, you know, I hear other stories, they don't move me as much, but man, I'll hear a story about foster kids, and man, my heart's just stirred. Well, I absolutely believe that that is the Lord saying, hey, this is part of what I'm going to be asked. This part of what I'm asking you to do. I remember Lou Engle years ago. There's a book called Windows to the Soul. And the book references this concept of just paying attention, pay attention to your tears, because your tears kind of
I love that.
reveal what's in your soul. And I think, man, what are the things that move me? What are the things that stir me? Where are the places that I have favor? And I think those things, when I really sit down, you use the word intentional or use that concept intentional. I think intentionality right now is maybe the most prophetic thing we could tell people. You have to be intentional. You've got to sit down with the Lord and actually just get a piece of paper out and say, Lord, what is it that you're asking of me? What are those areas that my heart stirred and those passions? Where do I have favor? Like just beginning to do this type of stuff. But I think when you do that, and I think it's why counsel is so important around you, because lots of times people processing this with you, people are actually saying, hey, do you remember that story? And man, I haven't seen favor on your life right there. I've seen it over there. And just kind of processing that out really gives some clarity with that. And I would tell everybody listening right now, if you're just before the Lord saying, God, I want to be obedient. I want to do my part with what you're asking of me, then you're in a great spot.
Yeah,
You're
so brilliant.
in a phenomenal spot. Go get clarity on that.
So brilliant. And I think when you are yielded in your heart like that and your desire is genuinely just to walk in obedience in the purpose in that unity of heart that we can walk in with Jesus, it's the privilege of our relationship now. I think the passion becomes the fuel, doesn't it? We become so alive because we're in the purpose of our wiring, and that so the it doesn't become self-centered. It becomes energy to serve the Lord and the people, and I and the fact that we're here ultimately to reveal him. I love that you focus people on both of the primary purposes to reveal him is to walk in intimacy, to have that real authentic relational connection that's alive with Jesus, where we know him, we know the ways of his heart, we can literally reveal the king through our union with
Yes.
him. And then we walk in obedience. Then there gets to be a purpose on that relationship, fruitfulness, and we become part of the solution, which is
Yeah.
what we're here to do, isn't it? To ultimately bring the kingdom, set, you know, bring his agendas on earth, set culture. So yeah,
Yeah.
so powerful.
It's obedience birthed out of love,
I love that.
not duty or
Yeah,
obligation.
it's not religion.
I think what we've both seen is if you're trying to sustain following Jesus, or if you're trying to sustain obedience from a place of duty or obligation, from a place of performance or fear, or you feel like you have to, you just won't sustain it. But if obedience is birthed from a place of intimacy, where I get with Jesus and I just want to give you everything. I just want to walk with you. I want to follow you. When it comes from that place of love, it's amazing to me what we will do for love that we won't do any other way. Or it's amazing to me.
Yeah,
or what
you
I would
become
say is this.
compelled by love, don't you?
Yes.
You become compelled by it
And it's
as
full
you
of joy.
experience his love. Yeah.
Yes. It's amazing what we'll do with joy from a place of love that we would do begrudgingly from a place of duty. The story I tell is I used to drive down when I lived in Reading, and this, 27 years ago when I was dating my wife, my soon-to-be wife, she took a missions trip in San Francisco, which is about 3.5, 4 hours away from Reading. So she was there all summer long, and I would get up on Saturday. I would drive the 3.5, 4 hours just to have lunch with her, and then drive all the way back before cell phones and FaceTime, all that stuff. I'd drive down, I'd have
Love
lunch
it.
in 4 hours, I'd drive back. I loved it. Never once complained about it. There's so much joy in my heart to go see her. But if somebody would that I didn't really know, didn't really have a connection with, wasn't really in a relationship with, if I had to drive 4 hours to do a lunch with them and drive back, I might do it, but I'd be complaining the entire time. It'd be like, I don't want to do this. And it's just amazing. It's the exact same thing. One's out of a place of love and it's full of joy. It's the sacrifices. You don't even talk about the sacrifice. The other one isn't out of a place of love and you just complain and begrudge. So I think the key is, listen, if you're struggling doing what the Lord's telling you to do, you got to just go, you got to go encounter his love again. Like go draw close to intimacy, because that is the issue. It is the issue. Whenever I'm struggling obeying the Lord, it's simply because I've distanced myself from that intimate walk with him and that intimate relationship with him. And when I get back to that place, I just say, oh, Jesus, I'll do anything. I will do anything for you because I love you. So that's why
so
I love
good.
what you're doing with your ministry, is just constantly calling people back to that place of intimacy.
Yeah.
Because from there, everything else works out.
Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. In the
Yeah.
end, it's all about Jesus. He has purchased us for himself and reconciled us back to that
Yes.
place of oneness and union with him, and all this fruitfulness and everything from our life flows from the reality of that. And also, I think from that place of intimacy and reconnected to his heart and our
Yes.
passion for the, so we have that fuel for the reason why we're alive. We can move in that. We have divine perspective, prophetic clarity, like you've said.
Yes.
I've found that it eradicates fear. When you have divine perspective, you have connectedness to your intimacy, and you're
Yes.
walking in your purpose. There is no place for fear. Fear cannot masquerade as wisdom when you're there. And you do become compelled by love. So, and you
They
are.
have a, they have a, my son, when he was probably six, broke his elbow and he had to go in for surgery. And so he'd never, none of our kids had ever had, it was a very simple surgery. It wasn't anything. He just had to put a pin in, but none of our kids had been put under, anesthesia, anesthesia. Am I saying that right?
I know what you mean.
So he's 6 years old. He's got his little gown on and his little thing, and they're kind of rolling back in. He's trying to be so brave, but he's got these big tears just slowly coming down his face. And in that moment, it's intimacy that brings him confidence. It wasn't like a I didn't hand him a piece of paper that just said, you'll be fine. You know, it was, I wanted him to hear the tone in my voice. I wanted him to see the look in my eyes. I just got, you know, you just get leaning, get real close to him and just say, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. You can do this and you're going to be okay. And in that moment, I'm not wanting to hear just some cold state or some cold fact. You'll be fine. I'm wanting to actually connect with my eyes and my voice and my tone. And I think that that's why I'm just telling you will not get through the season that's ahead apart from intimacy. It just will not happen. You are going to need the Lord to lean in. You're going to have a relationship with the Lord in such a way where he looks you in the eyes and you hear the tone in his voice, you hear the look in his eyes, and you hear him say, it's going to be good. Yeah. This is going to be all right.
Yeah.
And begin to speak to you about who you are, about what's going on in the world, about your relationships and your finances and your destiny, all of it. And so that's why that intimacy thing for me is just so critical.
Honestly, I could actually feel Father's love when you were speaking then. Like, that's the most important thing. Honestly, guys, if you don't remember anything else, hold on to that one truth. That's the key, isn't it? To living victoriously. It's the face-to-face, heart-to-heart
yes.
connection, hearing our Father going, it's not just going to be okay. You're going to thrive through this. I'm going to awaken the nations. Whatever the enemy means for harm, I'm working it together for
yes.
good, because ultimately
yes.
it's my planet.
Yep, that's exactly
I'm
right.
I'm in charge.
Yep, and I believe him and I trust him.
Yeah, so
I
good.
I believe him and I trust him. Why? Because of what you just described. I love it.
So good. So good. Okay, I want to ask you, will you pray for people like who are, you know, in that place still where they're stuck, they're listening to you and they're going, right, I am going to do this. I'm resetting myself back, prioritizing relationship and moving forward and reconnecting and taking position. I feel like, honestly, Banning, what's coming out of you is like almost like it's like a rally cry. You're calling us back into position right now. Say, come on, out from the oppression. We're seated. Come on, let's shift. So that's what I feel coming off you.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Let me pray. Father, I'm so grateful for everybody listening or watching right now. Just that hunger, God, to grow, to know you more. I pray you'd meet them right where they are. Father, I pray that this would be a season that they step into prophetic clarity birthed out of intimacy. That they would begin as they draw close to you, that John 15:7, that you would begin to speak to them. That you would begin to speak to them, to their heart, whatever they're walking through personally, that you'd begin to speak to them. Whatever they're seeing in the news and the nation and their state, that you'd begin to speak to them. Lord, that we would be a people in this season that live encouraged, that live full of hope, that live full of clarity and power because we've been with you and you've spoken to us. Because we've been with you and we trust you. We trust you and we believe you. And you've spoken to us as you did Jehu about who we are, about what you're doing, about the nation, all that stuff. So Lord, I just pray that you would draw people close in intimacy and you would give them clarity in this season. In the midst of disruption, God, release clarity to your people. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Really, wow, wow. I feel the holy presence of God resting right now. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, for what you have just released through Banning. I thank you. Holy, we agree. We agree. We thank you, Jesus. Every single one of our brothers and sisters across the nations of the earth right now coming up out from oppression, out from the bondage and the oppression of the attacks that you have been in. We call you out and back into position, reconnected to your relationship, to resensitize to the union that's already yours, the oneness that is already yours with Jesus. Whew. Wow, everything. I really feel that every assignment broken that's been warring against your capacity to connect experientially to the living God within you right now, broken. Broken, we agree. Every assignment that has tried to block you coming into position as royalty in the earth. Who to know the truth, to know the truth and live in your divine purpose. We agree. Right now, those assignments are finished. You will hear the Father speaking to you, looking eye to eye at you. As Banning shared, you will experience this again. And that experience will be the strength of your life as you mobilize and you come into a position now. Positioned, empowered, moving in authority, clarity, divine perspective, holy. It's time. It's time for Jesus to be revealed through his people. It's time for the culture to be set. We are not the tail. We are the head to bring the kingdom on earth, to bring peace where there's chaos, to bring his divine purposes holy, to manifest in the earth. Yeah. Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus, for every single one of us filled with you, overflowing again today, filled with boldness, filled with courage, filled with hope. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. Moving in divine purpose from intimacy, fruitfulness streaming from your lives. Wow. Holy, 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 holy. Amen. I really feel this as Banning's been sharing. The Lord's been pulling you back into position, mobilizing. There is such a clarion call that Banning is carrying right now that's activating you, dismantling what's been resisting. Thank you, Jesus. You are the solution in every situation. Thank you, Lord, that you will be revealed through our laid down lives where we are walking in obedience out of love for you. Powerfully with divine perspective. We agree. Is there anything else that you want to share just before we close, Banning? Because that was, I just feel the strength in your spirit. I just feel like people have shifted to a completely different place with what you shared today. Simple and profound keys that change our life experience.
No, I just feel like God's calling people to a place of real courage and hope. And yeah. I think just what we're talking about, if you'll go there, this is what you'll end up in, is a place of real courage and a place of real hope. Yeah. And so, yeah, just keep drawing close to the Lord. He'll speak to you. He'll speak
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
He'll encourage Amen. You. He'll give you full of hope. And we should be the most courageous, hopeful people on the planet. So I love that's what
Amen.
He's doing.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. To bring order out of chaos.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And it is a very, very privileged, exciting time to be alive, isn't it? Like you've said,
it is
the move of the spirit, this unprecedented move of the spirit, that is the solution that's started.
Yeah.
Listen,
everybody that's listening right now, you got to know this. We're about to experience the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the history of the world. And we're about to see one of the greatest harvests come in ever. And so there's disruption right now, but I'm telling you, it's going to lead to revival.
Yeah.
So we're excited for that.
So exciting. So exciting. Divine perspective changes everything. Hey,
come on.
Banning, you are such a massive blessing to the body of Christ. And we're so thankful for you. And thank you for jumping on today.
Absolutely. I love doing it.
And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time. I know you've shifted, and just have the most amazing week. You are here to participate in your relationship with Jesus, to see the kingdom of God come on earth, and it will through your life. So, amen. Have an amazing, amazing week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. I'm so excited to announce our first 365 days a year devotional, where every day you will be able to experience God as you begin your day. You'll be able to switch it on and experience God, his presence enfolding you as you begin your day, and the truth just pouring into you and his presence just pouring into you. So it's called Experiencing God's Love Every Day. If you jump onto lizwright.org and just click on it, and you will be able to download it straight away, and you'll be able to begin to experience him. Just, I encourage you, it's what I do as I open my eyes in the morning. I say, good morning, Jesus. And then begin to experience him. And I've just been able to create an asset now where you can do the same. Experiencing his love every day. It changes your life as you begin each day like this. So yeah, jump onto lizwright.org and you'll be able to find it there. God bless.
We're about to experience the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the history of the world. And we're about to see one of the greatest harvests come in ever. And so there's disruption right now, but I'm telling you, it's going to lead to revival. So we're excited for that.